Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
his Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
We needed this. You know, we're not as good as we think we are. That's really what it comes down to. I think I said in the beginning of the season, the excitement is just done. You know, it's real basketball now, so it's not just about the potential of the team or where we'll be at the end of the season. It's right now and taking care of what presently is in front of us.
All right, Kyrie Irving, after a Celtics lose in Portland on Sunday night to complete a 1-4 road trip that so easily could have been 0-5, as they need a buzzer beater to eke out one win at the wretched Phoenix Suns for their one road win in that trip. 1-4 on the trip, 7-6 on the year. 7-6. Right now, they're like the 5 or 6 seed in the East. And Kyrie Irving says, we needed that. We're not as good as we think we are. Maz, your thoughts on the Celts?
I think he's right. I have felt this way for a while. I told you they're just going to walk into the season and coast to the NBA finals, that they're not as good on, on paper. They looked great, but they're not as good as they think they are. Now Stevens has said that, but now you're hearing Kyrie say it. The question is, who's he saying it to?
Oh, I think it's a not so subtle shot at the guys that he's saying it to, like Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Terry Rozier.
I
don't know how you can take it any other way.
It's the young guys. There's a young guy thing on this team that's a problem, and I agree with Kyrie on it. They think they have earned more than they have, and so because of the time that they were able to get last year with the injuries, now they think they're superstars. Tatum in particular, I think, is worse than Brown is. And I think this is Kyrie's way of saying, hey, you're still a second-year player. You got to learn how to win in this league.
Okay, so another indication, Jimmy, play that second cut. Another indication Kyrie's singling out the kids, that he says they need a 15 or 14-year vet on this team. What?
Looking at this locker room, just... me being in my 8th year and being a quote-unquote veteran, as well as Al and Baines. And, right now I think that it would be nice if we had someone that was a 15-year vet, 14-year vet, that could kind of help us race along the regular season, understand that it's a long marathon rather than just a full-on sprint of just, when you want to play, when you want to do what you want to do. So,
okay, I think he's talking all over the place because I think Kyrie Irving has diarrhea of the mouth. I think he loves to hear himself talk and is all over the place and likes to pontificate. And you all know this about Kyrie Irving. So in that comment, he went in like 3 different directions. So I don't know exactly what he meant. I just think he was talking to talk as usual. But when he says we need a 15 or 14-year vet, what? What the hell does that mean?
I just think, again, that's a not-so-subtle shot at that young trio, Tatum, Brown, and Rozier, because it sort of makes no sense when you look at the guys he just mentioned, because they're not that young of a team. Al Horford's been in the league 12 years. He just said he's an 8-year vet. Same with Marcus Morris. Baines is in his 7th year. And it's not like they have a flux of rookies, and Robert Williams is getting a lot of minutes. He's talking about those three. He's pissed at the play of Tatum, Brown, and Rozier.
So, and when he says we need a vet, here's what I take out of it, too. Kyrie doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to be what LeBron was in Cleveland. He doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to be the one to look at Jason Tatum and say, dude, what are you doing?
Move the ball.
Yes, this is how it works in this league. I'm better than you are. I'm the lead dog. When I ask for the ball, you give it to me. The offense runs through me. Okay, and when the other guys are on the floor, it runs through them. And the problem at the moment is that I'm not sure Stevens is going to do it because he's relatively new to this too. So I don't want to call it a leadership problem, but it's a little bit of a leadership problem. There's going to be someone there who wants to be the bad guy that says, no, this is how we're going to do it. Garnett, when he's here, was unafraid to be the bad guy. They need somebody on that roster to say, this is how this team's going to work. It's my team. The rest of you do what I do. And I think that that's what Kyrie's saying there. He doesn't want to be the bad guy. He wants someone else to, with 15 years of cred, come in that he can look up to. Oddly enough, he wants someone like LeBron.
I think what he wants is someone like a Kendrick Perkins that will grab a jersey and shake the hell out of someone and say, like, we're not playing like this, you idiots.
Exactly. Someone who will be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And so I say someone like a LeBron. I think this is the Kyrie conundrum. He hated it when LeBron was like that because he thought LeBron was all about him. But at times, you need it.
Okay, so he's frustrated with the younger guys. Does Gordon Hayward count as one of the younger guys?
No.
How should he feel about Gordon Hayward?
So Hayward, though, is a little bit of a unique case, right? Because there is an injury there. And so he's not right. Now, I don't know when that's going to change, but, you know, is Hayward playing great? No. But I also don't think, do you feel like Hayward is forcing shots? Or
no, I don't feel he's forcing shots.
So I don't think Hayward is a problem on the floor.
I think he's almost...
defensively, maybe he is.
Too deferential at times. I think the offense doesn't flow through him, even though he's not selfish. It's not like he swallows the ball. But something about he's just not moving well enough or
yeah,
something.
His defense I don't know. Great.
And his defense, right? That, but I'm talking about offensively. It feels like he's an impediment to the offense, but not because he's shooting too much.
No, he's just not at the same pace.
He's not at the same pace, exactly.
So he's not in the rhythm of it. And that, I think, is just something they're going to have to wait for. Like, I don't think
roles aren't defined. Between him, Tatum, and Brown, they all play the same position. I don't think no one knows what the hell to do. Just his presence is kind of screwing things up.
So the more I think about it, Hayward should not be on the floor with Tatum and Irving at the same time. They can't have the three of those guys out there at the same time. They all want the ball.
Jimmy, why are you small C concerned?
There's just so much there. There's the tie-in to they're just not playing well right now. Offensively, defensively, they're exposed. The West Coast trip was a mess. Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum have this common denominator of Kobe Bryant being here, which worries me completely because the Stevens way is high basketball IQ, make the right basketball play. And Kobe Bryant, although a winner, was a selfish player, and that is kind of, it feels like it's crept into this team.
So both Tatum and Hayward have worked with Kobe Bryant.
I mean, I see more of it in Tatum than I do in Hayward.
No question you see it with Tatum.
I mean, he's shooting everything. And I think Tatum is a bit of a problem right now. And I like Tatum. I don't want them to trade him or anything of the like, but I think that his attitude, and when I say attitude, his ego is in the way right now. It's a problem.
He got benched on this trip. He got benched coming out of the second half in somewhere. I can't remember Denver.
In Phoenix, where they played Marcus Smart to start the second half, and Semi Ojeleye was the first player off the bench, not Jason Tatum.
Yeah, he got his ass benched in that game.
Yeah, Tatum to me is a problem right now because it feels like every time he gets the ball, and that the ball's going up. And there were some sequences at the end of the game with Portland, one in particular, where Kyrie missed a shot. There was a switch, and Nurkic ended up on Kyrie, and he shot it over him. Kyrie shot it over Nurkic. The Celtics ended up getting the rebound. The ball then went out to Tatum. And Kyrie sort of put his hands out like, here you go, let's restart. And Tatum wouldn't give it to him. And then there seemed to be like a miscommunication or some confusion there. And then Tatum hucked up a three and missed. And so I just look at that and say, with all due respect to Jason Tatum, whom I like, and at times I want him to shoot, he's got to be more deferential to Kyrie. I in that league, there's a caste system that exists. Like, someone's got to be the guy. There's got to be a lead dog. And to me, it's Kyrie. So I think it's his team, but he doesn't want to be the guy to tell him that.
Okay,
so Kyrie Irving has called himself the quarterback of this team publicly. Well, the quarterback has to be an a-hole once in a while, and Kyrie doesn't want to be that, and that's a problem.
That's interesting.
They have no a-holes on the team.
And that's why Kyrie wants a veteran to come in and be the a-hole.
Right. Now, if I were him, I'd appeal to Marcus Morris because I think he's got it in him.
No question he does. That's the guy.
But not yes. DeMarcus Cousin a-hole, like championship winning a-hole.
Yeah. No, I got it. That guy that pushes his teammates.
Right. Do you want to win or not? Someone who's going to say to Jason Tatum, do you want to win or do you just want to score?
Folks, like Jimmy Butler would be a good fit for that, quite frankly.
Okay, we have to get to Butler to Philadelphia. What does that mean? We'll get to that. Your Celtics thoughts. We have some thoughts on Tuukka Rask, who returned to the team today and had some statements. So we'll get to Tuukka Rask and your thoughts on that as well. Let me just clean this up because I don't know why you people can't understand this. Maddie in the car. Go ahead, Maddie.
Hey, Felger, eventually you're going to have to get out of the middle of the road. A radio talk show host that won't pick a team for a win on Sunday is almost as bad as letting some guy named Sarge on the radio.
Ah, very good. You killed two birds with one stone there, Maddie. What's so hard to understand? So last week, Maz, you picked the Titans by a point, right?
I did, yes.
Would you have been surprised if the Patriots had won?
Of course not.
And I'm the a-hole. Okay, very good. To your thoughts right after this.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mez.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Another furious comeback attempt falls short in the fourth quarter, and a road trip that had a lot of miles, a lot of drama, comes to an end with only one win, and that one barely. The Celtics show signs of life in every game on the trip, but back-to-back comebacks fall short, and there is an element of back to the drawing board for Boston now as they make the long flight home. The final score, Portland 100, Boston 94.
You find your flow by making the next right play and playing hard. That's it. When you're in the game, you have a job to do on that possession, you do it. And then if you do it really well over and over again, you have a good team. And we're not there yet. And so that to me is, well-coached teams are, you know, get there. We're not a well-coached team right now. That's pretty obvious.
We're not a well-coached team right now. That's pretty obvious. They're a little strong. You know, Brad laying it on there a little thick. However, Stevens has never been in this spot. And I do find it interesting. We talked about what could derail the Celtics. So there weren't much. There wasn't much, right? The one of the few things you could point to is egos and minutes and mouths to feed and how Brad had never really done that before. He was a college coach and then came here and really had a college sort of atmosphere on this team of overachievers and young kids that were take coaching and all of this. Now, whole different kettle of fish. Superstar egos, Instagram story accounts, max contracts, guys who want movie contracts, young players who want max contracts and movie contracts, and all this crap. And now Brad Stevens has to deal with that. New experience for him. And he's still figuring it out. I wouldn't say they're a poorly coached team, but he's got to figure this thing out.
I mean, right now they're playing like a poorly coached team, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like they don't play together. It's clear. It's like, that has to change.
Well, every night it's an exercise in it's finding a new way to say, what the hell is this offense? You know, every single game so far.
Frank in New Hampshire, your thoughts on the Celts?
Yeah, you know, one take from this weekend was there were points this weekend and all the games sucked, but Gordon Hayward just disappeared. There were times where I forgot that he was even on the floor. Aside from the fact when he was calling for the ball underneath the basket, and guys were playing hero ball and chucking it up. So I think Gordon Hayward is kind of the number one problem on this team because guys haven't figured out how to work him into the offense.
Right. He's not quite ready. Frank, sorry to cut you off. Thanks for the call. He's not quite ready. He's not clearly full speed, not at his best, and he's a starter. Why?
So that's not on him, though.
Because you get... Right. No, it's not on him. Right. No, it's true. Or though maybe it is. I mean, maybe he's someone who would be difficult if you benched him.
So that's right.
So we don't know the dynamics in, you know, internally, but he's not a starter on merit. He's a starter because of his contract or his relationship with the coach or his status as a big free agent. Those are awful reasons.
And what's annoying is that they have an easy out. They can easily reduce the minutes just by saying, he's recovering from an injury. That's why he's on the second unit. That's why he's not playing as much.
And he looks foolish in that commercial, man. He's got commercial endorsements, man. You can't be a bench player and be Megatron or whatever that stupid cartoon is. you can't do that as a seventh man.
I told you, the guy I'd stick on the bench from the start was Tatum. To me, that was the guy, you know, for lots of reasons.
Why him and not Jaylen Brown?
Because I think Tatum is a more explosive offensive player and fits better in the second unit. Tatum could absolutely just score at will, for crying out loud, when he gets rolling. And I don't think Brown is quite as explosive offensively as Tatum is.
So here's what I think. I think, and I'm not the first to say this, but I've heard others say it, and I would agree, that Hayward, Brown, or Tatum, one of those three have to come out of the starting lineup, and either Marcus Smart or Baines has to come in. And I'm not saying Marcus Morris either. I need someone who, and Smart doesn't totally fit this profile, but someone who's not going to need the ball offensively. Someone who's going to fill a role, get rebounds in Baines' case, dive on the floor or flop around for the refs like Marcus Smart. You know, more of a role guy and less of an offensive guy that's going to take the ball. They need one less of that on the floor and one more of a role player. And
That makes your second unit better. So all of that. So who's going to subjugate their ego and be okay with it?
Good question.
So that's sort of like what they're dealing with. But one of those guys has to come off.
Yeah, and someone's going to have to decide that for them, which again comes back to either the best player on the team or the coach saying this is the way it's going to be. Stop bitching about it.
Derek in Foxborough, your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the team. I mean, you know how the regular season was. You play 500 on the road and you dominate at home. And they've only played four home games out of 13. So we have to see, you know, they have a bunch of home games coming up. We have to see how they look there. And you have to remember, Kyrie didn't play in the Utah game, and they lost the Indiana game on a buzzer beater. So they easily could have been 3-2 on the road trip.
Okay. Well, there's a great green team take. They just, the losses don't resonate. They just don't stick to the green teamers.
So I'm not,
it's crazy, but hold on. To be the number one seed in your conference, you're going to have to win some road games.
Yes.
If to be in the playoffs, no. You go, right. I mean, we're not talking about being a playoff team. We're talking about being home in game 7 against Toronto or being home against Milwaukee in game 7. If it comes to that, you want that home court. And if you want to beat out those teams record-wise, the way it looks, you're going to have to win some road games. Sorry.
I mean, great teams win on the road.
Yeah.
In that league, that's the way it goes. And the other thing is, I'm not worried. I don't think the season's coming apart. But they got to start figuring it out. And I think egos are getting in the way. I think that that's what it is. So somebody somewhere has to say, no, this is how it's going to be. Now, look, in a game like at Portland, when they're going against a guy like Nurkic, a big guy in the middle like that.
They can't match it.
That's perfect for Baines. But that's perfect for Baines.
Right, fair enough.
But my point is that's the opportunity to change the lineup.
Right.
And then hide it if you need to hide it. So if you're Steve and say, no, we're going to go with this matchup tonight, Baines is going to go in, then you're both going to sit. And then, who knows, maybe the team plays well, and then Stevens can sell him on that. But you had an opportunity to do it in a game like that. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Jalen five rings. Jalen Brown's already got himself winning five rings. Hayward, every time you look up, has got a commercial and Instagram post. He ain't no seventh man. And Jason Tatum just came from an offseason working with Kobe Bryant. Not exactly the greatest resume there for subjugating your ego. So you tell me, which one? Jalen Five Rings Brown? Jason Kobe Tatum? Or Larry Bird here with the commercials? You tell me, who's going to subjugate their ego?
Good question. But you got two young guys there in Brown and Tatum who don't have 5 years in the league combined between them.
This Jalen Brown. At least Jason Tatum, can score. This Jason, he got himself winning five rings. He can't hit a shot. God, where did he get that attitude from? I don't care if the sideline reporter was cute or not. Good God. How do you feel about Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia?
So I think that that's a good pickup for the Sixers. And we talked about this at the time when Butler started to pop up as a trade candidate. That, boy, the team that could use him is Philly. They could use a veteran guy there that's going to play some defense.
Oh, God, do they need that. They desperate. And someone who can score. He's not a great shooter. I mean, that doesn't fill that role. But that whole Philadelphia team was either offensive guys who can't defend or offensive guys who can't shoot. But, because they had no shooters, they'd have to bring on the McConnells and the Reddicks of the world, and you'd pick on them defensively. So Butler is someone who can score, and you don't have to, he's not going to get picked on the other end. He's going to make it better on the other end. They desperately needed someone like that, but he's still not a complete fit there because he's not a good enough shooter.
I do think, though, that he brings some toughness to that team, too, which they needed. They need some attitude there because Embiid is lazy.
Well, they have attitude. That's the thing. This is why it could be combustible. Like, that's already kind of a bitchy locker room. Like, Ben Simmons plays with an edge. I like that. Sometimes goes over it. Embiid, there's laziness there. But that was the same thing with Karl Anthony Towns that set Butler off in Minnesota. So I think it could be interesting. Like, you'll probably get more, Real Housewives drama in that, with that makeup of that team.
That's a good point.
Okay, so Jimmy Butler to Philadelphia, your thoughts. The Celtics and their early struggles, your thoughts. Let's get to Tuukka Rask next as well. Jim will have the latest for you in the update. When we come back, you will hear from Tuukka today as he addressed reporters for the first time since his leave of absence, and I have a developing opinion on the situation, which I'll give you again right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Deep inside my heart, I felt like I needed to take time to be with my family and make things right so I can be back here and focus on my job. And that took 3 days. I'm back here. I'm back to work. And I'm ready to battle with these guys.
What was the line in there, Murray, that was a tip-off to you?
About the made amends of some kind? Let me
make
find
things
it.
Right.
Make things right. That's what it is.
I had to make things right.
Make things right.
So.
Okay, so that's sort of a... You can read into that a little bit, maybe getting a clue as to what... Rask, like, you know, I'm not saying this is it. I don't know if this is it, but that would fall under a category of like a marital issue, right? You can go home, make things right at home. Like, that's sort of how you would read that.
I mean, I don't know any other way you could take it.
You know, you wouldn't say that if you were tending to a sick kid. You know, that wouldn't be it. And, you know, hopefully that's not it. And thank God it doesn't feel like that's it. No one would wish that on anyone. So, you know, that just, you can read into that one little line there. It's just... That had the feel of that.
It's a doghouse line.
It feels like a doghouse line.
Yeah, totally right. That's a good way to put it. Doghouse line.
Feels like a doghouse line. But, we don't know, and I'll say up front, we don't know. Here's what I do know, and here's what stands out to me about this situation. It was only 2 games in 3 days. So, the guy's got an issue that, thank God, doesn't feel like it's health-related for him or anyone else. That doesn't feel like it's, well... Something that would require an extended stay at a hospital or a rehab facility or something like that, right? It's obviously a 2-day, 3-day situation that he had what sounds like at home. How easy would it have been for the team to announce that Rask has come down with the flu and he's day-to-day and on an emergency basis we're going to call up Dan Vladar from Providence to sit on the bench in case Tuukka can't go. And behind the scenes, they tell Tuukka Rask to go home and take care of your business, and we got you covered. Like, do you know how often that happens in pro sports?
Sure.
I mean, I've seen it personally. Like, do you know how often that happens? That a player has a little something come up in his personal life, and the team says, don't worry, we got you covered. Sore ankle, day to day, not going to make it tonight. Happens all the time, routinely. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's happened to Rask in the past. I mean, he's bagged out of some big games, both here at the Olympics, and it's the flu, intestinal turmoil, or this or that, and like the next thing you know, he's back the next game. And it's like, well, what happened there? And I mean, and I'm not saying like that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying in this case, the team made a point to say leave of absence and that he requested it. The team did not, Rask, and you'll hear the sound coming up here in a minute, Rask thanked the team, but I think the team put him out there a little bit in this.
Unless he wanted it this way.
Why would he?
I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't lie. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not telling you he's like the most honest man on the planet or anything like that. I don't know.
So you don't think he'd want the team to say he's got a sore ankle when he doesn't have a sore ankle?
I don't know. I'm just saying maybe he wanted it that way for some reason that we don't know about. I'm not telling you I believe that. I'm saying
you got to give me a reason why he would want that.
But why would the team, if he did want to keep it private, why would the team out him like that?
Because they're sick of his crap.
Maybe.
Because this may have been, again, I don't know, may have been self-inflicted. You know what I mean? Like, his personal problem wasn't a sick kid. It wasn't something with his family. It was something that he sort of got himself in trouble, right? If that's what we're,
sure,
following through on the doghouse line. If he got himself in trouble and he has sucked for 2 years and he's been out to lunch for 2 years and he's been unreliable for 2 years and he's not lived up to the contract for 3-4 years and the team has already called him out on his conditioning and how he comes into camp and Bruce Cassidy and the team has clearly just used their eyes and seeing there's something not right here and have just grown a little sick of him. And he comes to him with this and they say, okay, we're going to call a leave of absence, Tuukka. You know, they could have totally covered for him. Tuco never would have, we never would have known. He never would have had to make that statement today. It never would have come out like this. They clearly just could have said flu. He came down with the flu and take the weekend off. Could have been so easy. Happens all the time. Why didn't they do it? That's what stands out to me.
Yeah, I it's a good question. I don't know. It's a fair point. I think we all sense they were getting a little sick of him there. And who knows if it's the kind of thing that, like, you never know what's going on behind the scenes and how often stuff has happened. And if they do throw their hands up and say, well, fine, but you're on your own on this one.
Yeah.
Like,
sort of like that.
I don't rule that out. I just, you know, I don't know. Once families get involved, I don't know. I always sort of look at it and I say,
well, but that's a very broad.
Sure it is.
It's a very broad thing.
Sure it is.
I mean, the health of your children and all that is, you know, beyond obvious. And if that were what it was at stake here, got it. But if it's sort of a self-inflicted marital thing, it's like, I mean, it's important. Understand it. The team obviously does. But maybe they're at a point with this player where they're like, okay.
Well, so then it speaks to the pattern in the history.
But we're, so obviously, yes. Yes, of course, right. If the player were on better footing with the team, I mean, if Patrice Bergeron had the same thing that we hope is just, you know, what we're sort of alluding to, don't you think the team would say, whatever you need, Patrice, we got you covered.
Definitely.
Sure. Right? As opposed to someone who's underperformed and not lived up to his end of the bargain and tapped out several times here in the past and has lost his job because he's played so poorly. I don't know. To me, that's...
No, it's a fair point.
I mean, that's what this says to me, because this feels like something, I guess, going back to the very beginning, that... Very easy to just to cover for. So easy. It was the weekend. It was two games. But the spot he put this team in, even with these two games, I mean, Halak, at 33 years old, had to play back-to-back nights. That's kind of rare. You know, you don't get that often where a guy plays, I mean, I'm not talking about back-to-back games. I'm talking about back-to-back nights. Almost always in the regular season of the NHL, almost always, I would say 90% of the time, 80, 90% of the time. That's a split situation right there. And they had to go back to the same guy twice. So you put the team in the spot there. And the team obviously doesn't feel the guys in Providence can play. So you really put them in a spot. I mean, what if Halak had gotten hurt in these two games because he pushed himself? That ain't, you know.
No. It's a fair point.
That ain't a good thing.
Yeah, so my only other question would be, and I think I asked you this in the last day or two. Like, I don't know what the roster rules are. You know, do if a guy's going to miss a series of days and you want to put him on injured reserve or something, what's a minimum time?
From what I understand, you have a 20 man roster limit, or 22, you can carry, like, or 24. I don't even know what it is. It's somewhere over 20. You're allowed to carry a couple of guys up in the press box. So you don't have to shed someone from your roster to bring someone up. Are you allowed to keep three goalies? That's the only thing I don't know, but I think you are. I don't think it matters. I think you could have Rask up there
right, with
the other, you know, healthy scratches. And or not up there, whatever, just have him on your roster. You don't have to put Rask on injured reserve to bring up Vladar to sit behind Halak, I don't think. Did this leave of absence, was that an official roster move? Was he put on an official sort of leave list that gave him a roster spot for Vladar?
It's a good question.
I don't think so. I just think they added Vladar. So they easily just could have said strain quad day to day, and he's on the practice ice today and on the plane today to Colorado. And we never would have known. They didn't. That's what stands out to me.
No, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. I had not considered it in those terms, that when you think about it, look, if there's a pattern there, then it tells you on some level that they've lost faith in the guy and they don't believe in him.
I mean, I don't know.
Or they don't believe him.
To me, it's just an indication of where they are with him. And it's not like Cassidy today was, you know, you didn't hear Cassidy say, like, we just thank God everything's okay. Like, it wasn't like that. He's like, nope, he's back and we'll see. So, I don't know. I mean, that's just my read on it. I've been wrong before. But either way, whatever it is with Rack, hopefully he can start clearing his head and start playing well again consistently and giving him the money's worth. Like, that's really our concern. And we'll see what that is going forward. Your thoughts on the Rask situation right after this long commercial-free segment.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I want to thank all the people who sent me messages and contacted me and supported me. Second of all, I want to thank the Boston Bruins for giving me the opportunity to take time off with my family, and I've never been more proud to be a part of this family, the Boston Bruins, because they really, we talk about a lot that this is a family, and we are a family, and we take care of each other when times are tough. And
on Rask, Celtics situation, etc., etc. Here's Pat in Boston. What do you got for us on Tuukka Rask, Pat?
I got two quick things, one on Rask and then one on Cassidy and more of the roster. So I think you guys just said that it was marital. I don't believe Rask is married, actually. I think he might have a girlfriend or whatever, but I don't really care about the whole leave of absence thing. Just get rid of this guy. He's not the same goalie as he was back in 2013. I think now is the perfect time to just get rid of him and cut your losses, get a prospect, get whatever you can for him. I don't know if anybody will take him, but try it out.
Pat, I'm with you. It's just you're selling low. Who's going to take him?
Yeah, now's the wrong time.
It's the worst time.
Yeah, what you do now is you rebuild him and then move him.
Okay, maybe. I still want to see him gone by the end of the year, hopefully. And then on Cassidy, we're now almost a quarter of the way into the season right now, and Jaroslav Halak has more points than David Backes, who is averaging a minute and 45 seconds average on power play time during the game. And Ryan Donato is sitting in Providence. Somebody please explain that to me.
Okay, I think Donato belongs in Providence. Donato looked lost to me when he was up there.
I mean, he had one goal in the first game and hadn't done anything since.
No, Donato was not ready. He's like a lot of those young kids, he either plateaued or took a step back or wasn't ready or something. I have no problem with Donato being in Providence. David Backes is not necessarily Bruce Cassidy's fault. I mean, he doesn't have to be on the power play, although I think that's probably a better place for him. It's not like you're up and down the ice. Backes's problem is he can't move. So plop him in front of the net, on the net front presence on the power play. Like, that's actually a fine place to use him. He just can't get up and down the ice.
I looked this up the other day, and this was yesterday morning. But as of yesterday morning, there were 342 forwards in the league. Okay, only five of them had played 12 games at least and didn't have a point. One of them's Backes, and another one's Achari.
That's
the Bruins have two of the five.
That's Don Sweeney's fault. And Achari is a fourth line guy that makes nothing.
Okay, so that one you live with, yep. Right? Exactly, because he's a crash player.
Backes makes $6 million a year, and he's on the hook for is it three more years?
Yes, this and two more.
Oy vey.
This is his third year.
So that's a GM problem. John and Waltham on Rask. Go ahead, John.
I had a thought, you know, on Rask. If it is something marital, girlfriend, whatever it is, you know, I'm wondering if part of the deal with her was, you know, I don't want to hear this. You have the flu, you have a sprained ankle, you know, enough is enough. I want people to know what happened.
Then why doesn't she release what happens?
Maybe that's the next shoe to drop.
Okay. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Ricky's- I mean, I don't know either. Look, it's what you said about the team, though. There are teams that have... I mean, how many times do teams release things that a player has flu-like symptoms?
Oh.
They don't say he has the flu.
Oh.
They say he has flu-like symptoms.
Happens routinely.
It's like the oldest trick in the book.
When I cover the Bruins, I cover the Patriots. You cover these teams, you see it all the time. They just, the guy's got a personal thing, and so don't worry about it. You got an ankle. Like, happens all the time.
And when we say marital thing, he has a significant other.
So a domestic, whatever.
Domestic is right. So there you go.
Rick and Stoughton. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, about the Rask thing, you can't exactly say he's got flu-like symptoms if he's running out and, you know, taking flights to Finland and whatnot.
Why?
You know, somebody sees him, they're going to be like, what the hell? He's got flu-like symptoms. That'll blow the whole thing up, make it way worse.
What do you mean?
And you can have three goalies in the NHL. Carolina's been carrying three most of the season.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, the Bruins just did. So they didn't have to deactivate Rask. They didn't have to put him on any injury list. All they had to say was flu-like symptoms. And you see him walking on the street. He's walking on the street with a bellyache.
Hell, even
a sore back. Like, that's another great one. He's got a sore back.
Right, spasms.
You can't prove it.
That's another one that's the oldest trick in the book. Like, no, it's a fair point. Again, when I said to you, like, you know, I don't know, maybe he would want it that way. I mean, I have this bad habit of sometimes thinking that people want to be honest. But, like, seriously, I mean, I do. I'm naive. I'm gullible that way.
But this isn't even lying. This is sports fibbing. You know, it's just such a simple sports fib. If the guy was in a little bind and needed the weekend and the team had his back, I don't think we would have known about it. I mean, I'm sure it's
happened. No, it's an easy thing to cover.
It's happened all the time. And so that, like, this isn't, I don't know. I mean, we can argue about this if we want. But to me, it's just, my read on it is that the team's growing impatient with Rask.
You couldn't blame them if they were.
And why would they, how could they be happy with him? The only guys that are happy with Tuukka Rask are the writers. It's the only people who are.
I mean, they've invested a ton of money in him, and he hasn't been the same goalie now for a while.
Brandon in Boston has a Celtics sock. Go ahead, Brandon.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. I just want to say something really quick. People just need to calm down about panicking. It's still early in the season, so pretty sure they'll get together. But for 2019 with the free agents, I just want to throw these names by you because Kyrie said floor general. So how about Hassan Whiteside, DeAndre Jordan, Vince Carter? You got DeMarcus Cousins.
Hold on. You want Vince Carter?
And he didn't say anything about a floor general.
He just said someone who's been in the league 15, 16 years. Let me ask you something, Jimmy Stewart. How many years has Carmelo Anthony been in the league?
Oh God!
Don't even go.
Oh
there.
God,
Jimmy! How long has he been in the league?
Google it, Mike.
Look that up, Murray. Is it 15 or 16 years?
Something like that. Yeah.
Is it 15 or 16 years?
You don't want. I think it's 14.
Guy. Came in 02. I think.
Okay, so look, I don't want the guy, but Kyrie couldn't be talking about something like that, could he?
It's his 16th year.
Because Carmelo's shopping for teams right now.
I don't think Kyrie Irving wants Carmelo.
I would, God, hope not.
I'm telling you, I, when I hear that, I think it's pretty simple. Kyrie doesn't want to run the locker room because he doesn't want to be the bad guy. And in a lot of ways, that makes him a good guy. Like, he's probably not suited for it. He's probably not wired for it. LeBron was. And he couldn't stand LeBron, so he doesn't want to be LeBron. But he wants some of the trimmings that go with being LeBron. Like, he wants the good parts of LeBron, but not the bad parts. And so I think that they need someone to sort of put the team in order. They need a leader. And right now, I'm not sure that they have one.
And you just think it's because Kyrie doesn't want to be the bad guy.
I do.
It's interesting.
I don't think Kyrie wants to be the bad guy. The more I heard these comments and go through the whole thing.
He doesn't want to be LeBron.
He doesn't want to be LeBron. He left Cleveland because he couldn't stand LeBron. And so now he's got to look at a guy like Jason Tatum and say, why don't you get it? And what he needs to, so maybe we're seeing sort of Kyrie's sort of growth here as a leader too. Dude, if this is what you want, if you want to be on a team where you're the guy, well, there's a responsibility that comes with it too, with kicking guys in the ass when they need a kick in the ass, if that's what it's going to be. Because otherwise, like, you could just as easily look at Al Horford, but I'm not sure Horford's that kind of guy either. Like, is he the one that's really going to get in someone's face, or is he just going to calm everybody down?
He's a nice guy. Solid pro. Good dude. He's not exactly, doesn't feel to me like an in-your-face.
There's only an example of that, and it was in the playoffs last year, where Horford got upset at Abby Chen or was yelling at people in the locker room, and that's about it. It's lead by example, not by yelling at people.
Well, no, I mean, I remember he was doing the post game with Abby in the hallway, and the team was filing off
right. The
court, and Horford was sort of a bad, he's like, yeah, that's right, that's how we do it. He was sort of cheerleading. It was really a good moment for him, too, I thought. I remember it. But it wasn't like, hey, get your ass in gear kind of thing. It wasn't like getting on someone that was in victory.
I mean, like, I go back to 08.
If that's what you're talking about. Okay,
I remember specifically in that game where, and I'm talking about a game I was at in 08, Garnett was airing out Rondo on the floor. I mean, he was airing him out. And then he was asked about it after the game and says, you know, I remember, was he telling Rondo to throw a pass or not throw a pass? And we asked him about it after the game, and he said, no. No, like, you know, we're investing all this energy to get the ball, and then he's going to throw it away? So he had no problem calling him out. None. I can't imagine Kyrie doing that. And they might be at a point now where they need someone to do that on the floor, because Tatum looks to me like all he wants to do is score 25 every night.
I say go with the guy I mentioned, Kendrick Perkins. Just bring him in to yell. He's not going to play.
Oh, I love
so
that guy.
That kind of guy would be a good guy for them.
Perfect.
He's out there.
No is one, he?
Yeah, and I thought he's officially retired. I don't see that anywhere, but you know, he was waived by Cleveland.
Did he go back like to the D League to play?
Maybe.
Or he was
G
with
League?
The Cavs last year.
Whatever they call it. Like, I think he went back to play somewhere because he still wants to play.
Or your coach has to do it.
Oh, that ain't gonna happen.
And so, but so
you're
he doesn't
bringing
have
Peyton Manning no, again see, to have him watch film and maybe you know be a little bit stern with the fellas.
How many coaches can get away with that, Pop? But
no, you gotta have the credentials.
I mean, it's really hard to be tough on players in that league.
Yeah, it's gotta be someone with credentials, and the only one on that team with credentials is Kyrie. He's the only one with hardware. He's the only one ring. And I don't think he wants to do it.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.